Welcome to the Naturally Nourished Podcast that delivers cutting-edge food as medicine solutions for optimal health. Ali Miller is a nutrition expert sought out by the media and America's top medical institutes for her revolutionary functional medicine interventions. From disease treatment to prevention, every episode will empower you with ways to put yourself back in control of your health. Please note, the topics discussed are for educational purposes only. Now welcome, Integrative Dietitians Ali Miller and her co-host Becky Yu.
Welcome to episode 389 of the Naturally Nourished Podcast. Today we are talking all about parasites and whether they are wreaking havoc on your gut health, or whether maybe some of them could be even commensal or seem to be beneficial. This is a big area of focus, I think, in the functional medicine space, and I feel like I'm seeing all of these health influencers all of a sudden posting about doing parasite cleanses or doing coffee enemas or colonics to rid themselves of parasites. And, you know, we've been talking about parasites in probably all of our gut health episodes, but we wanted to do a really big deep dive of how common are they? What are the things to look for to know if a parasite is negatively impacting your health and how to address it if you do find that you actually do have a parasite?
Yes. So we will talk about common symptoms, chronic illness associated with parasites. We'll talk about how to assess parasites in today's episode, and then what tools are successful for eradicating or getting rid of parasites, and where you don't want to turn, or things that can go too far to throw imbalance in the body.
Totally. All right. So before we get into all of that, very timely that we have just in a couple of short weeks now, or maybe 10 days or so away at this point, our Beat the Bloat Live program is starting. And so this is our annual gut cleanse. It includes four live classes with Ali and myself, and these will be held starting April 10th. Then we'll have one May 1st, May 22nd, and June 12th to guide you through our entire Beat the Bloat and microbiome reboot protocol. So this entails a 6-week gut cleanse that is aimed at yeast overgrowth, dysbiosis, and has added material certainly for parasite. In fact, we've just revamped our Beat the Bloat bundle, which we'll talk about in a little bit in depth, to be more inclusive of parasites. So it's kind of a one and done cleanse approach, followed by rebuilding your microbiome for a solid 4 weeks to get your gut flora working for you. So we've got the four live classes. It includes our Beat the Bloat ebook. It includes access for 3 months to a virtual classroom, which is going to contain handouts, additional resources, supplement recommendations, recipes, so much more. And then you'll also have access to Ali and myself on a private Slack channel where you can talk to other participants. You can post about your progress so far, ask questions, troubleshoot where things are maybe going wrong in your cleanse, so you don't quit before you get to all of the goodness, right? Because we know that a lot of times during a cleanse, things will actually get worse before they get better. And so this is an approach where we can handhold you through the entire process. Both of us are going to be doing gut cleanses ourselves. And I think putting our husbands through the protocol, this will be Byron's first time doing it, actually. So we'll be kind of giving live real-time feedback on how our process is going. And a really good way, if you've always wanted to do a cleanse, or if you've done a cleanse and maybe stopped short of getting actual results, will be there for you throughout the whole thing.
Yes. What a lot of people are unfamiliar with is the role of endotoxin that we can see from parasite dysbiosis, from yeast, bacteria overgrowth. And so as we start working with antimicrobials, antifungals, and antiparasitics, we hit you with the trifecta with our Beat the Bloat cleanse that you have full coverage. Oftentimes in that die-off period, some individuals will deal with inflammation, neurological issues, or their gut or skin could get a little bit worse before it improves. So we will be there with you during this live program to help to mitigate or offset some of those side effects that occur during a cleanse, to support you in ensuring that you are first doing no harm and that you are supporting your body's balance and its needs, and also to be able to recalibrate or pivot if we need to from a negative feedback response or potentially swapping out a formula, etc. We'll also give you a bunch of lifestyle and, of course, food as medicine support along the way. We hope you'll join us. It's only $99 for the 4 live classes, the comprehensive ebook, and access to our virtual classroom with all these handouts and that Slack channel to upload your labs, put notes on your symptoms or success stories, and you have that community forum to support the process. So go on over to alliemillerrd.com, grab a spot in the live Beat the Bloat for just $99, and we can't wait to see you there. We have seen amazing results through this program. This is actually the approach I've been using for over a decade, but we're just continuing to refine and polish it up and layer things in. So also to let you all know, the Beat the Bloat bundle of supplements is also changing at this time. You may have noticed last week when we went live with our Beat the Bloat bundle, not only having our Berberine Boost, Herbal Immune, Ultimate Detox, and GI Cleanup, but we've added in the Nano Silver and we've added in the GI Reset. So we will unpack a little bit deeper on those formulas, why they got added into the mix, and then stay tuned as we also revamp a little bit our Bacteria Rebuild bundle to a better name of Microbiome Reboot. And that is going to also have an adjustment in supplementation.
Yes. All right, before we get into today's topic, another very on-topic event we've got coming up is the Trust Your Gut Women's Wellness. This is a functional medicine approach to gut health. If you are local to the Austin or Hill Country area, come on out on April 24th. This will go from 6:30 to 8:30, doors opening at 5:30, held at Meridian in Buda, which is a really cool kind of multi-purpose space. It's a bar at night. They host live music, and they have the wonderful medicinal mocktails from Zoe Wellness and our friend Noah's entire tincture line. They actually carry at their market the Naturally Nourished supplement line, as well as tons of great pantry staples, really fun snacks. And so we'll be co-hosting an event along with Noah. Allie will be speaking. Noah will be speaking. We'll be doing like a Q&A style panel up on stage, a little food demo, a little prana shakti from Jody. Really fun women's gathering. And the first one that we held back in February totally sold out. It was a Galentine's Day approach. So we anticipate that this one will sell out as well at only $20 per ticket.
We'll put links for that in the notes as well.
All right. Quick word from our sponsor before we are off to the races on parasites. Let's talk about carnivore snacks.
Yes. So carnivore snacks provides two ingredients of delicious. Literally, they're providing you meat with Redmond Real Salt. And the way that they dehydrate or remove the moisture from the quality meat source provides this meat pastry, if you will, this amazing texture that truly melts in your mouth. So you're not tearing your teeth with a dehydrated jerky that creates a lot of mandible fatigue or chew fatigue or needing to drink water to get it down. Carnivore snacks provides an amazing flavor profile and perfect texture. And by doing that slow dehydration process, they also retain a nutrient density as well as protein-rich snack. So every ounce of carnivore snacks is going to give you 13 to 19 grams of protein, whereas if we're looking at like ounces of steak or pork or lamb, we're getting that standard 7 grams of protein per ounce. So this makes a really great snack for travel, for hiking in the summertime, or maybe beaching, because it's light it is temperature stable and a great way to meet your body's protein needs. In their 5 ounce bag, you could easily be getting upwards of over 90 grams of protein. So pretty awesome selections there. The bags range from $25 to $39, depending on the cut. They have ribeye, pork loin, New York strip, sliders, which are grinds of lamb, beef, pork, etc. Stella loves them. The whole family is into it. And my favorite is the ribeye. So check out the regenerative ribeye when you make a selection. When you go on over to Carnivore Snacks with an X, that's Carnivore Snacks with an X, use Allie Miller RD, you'll save 15% off your order and get free shipping on an order of $125 or more.
All right, let's dig into it. Just starting with kind of a basic overview, and this is going back to like what, high school or even middle school biology. What is a parasite?
Yeah, so it's an organism that lives on or in a host, and it basically feeds off of the nutritional source of the host itself, right? So this can have a toll or expense on the host, where we can see nutritional deficiencies, inflammation, fatigue. The parasite is literally feeding off of that person in order to survive, the host, right? And so we can look at parasites as influencers of disease. In fact, we can see certain types of disease that these organisms themselves can carry. So beyond the actual parasite itself, for instance, like when we think of hookworm or et cetera, this can carry other potential bacterial infections. So you can get that kind of double hit of the parasite feeding and weakening the host, and then the parasite carrying other infections. And we do know that there are various classes of parasites that we find in humans. So we can see protozoa, we can see helminths, and we can see ectoparasites. I think the most commonly known is the helminths kind of section, if you will, which is going to include more of the known worms. This is the macro or the larger form or grouping of parasites. So this is where then we're going to see like the nematodes and roundworms. We're going to see tapeworms and flukes. And I think it's important to note when we're looking at parasites that there is, like you said in the opening, Becky, a lot of misinformation out there. So we'll talk about the difference of, you know, not to be confused, roundworm and ropeworm, and, you know, how ropeworm basically can be mucilaginous debris in the gut. And when people are doing often, let's just do it now, right? When people are often doing like a colonic and they're seeing what's passing through, we're actually often looking more at ropeworm, which is more of the gut mucus and byproduct or debris. And a lot of the formulas that individuals take during a gut cleanse or parasite cleanse can often be very mucilaginous or oopy goopy and create also, especially in the water of the toilet, that electrostatic look of a worm.
Right. Looks like it's moving. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And Dr. Bradley actually did a video, I think I forwarded to you when we were kind of in preparation for this episode, on the, is it mimosa?
Pudica.
Pudica. Yes. And this is in a lot of parasite formulas. And he actually shows opening capsules. He shows the plant itself being responsive to touch. So it has like that movement. And then he opens capsules in water and shows literal formations of how one capsule can create this worm-like structure. And he has them all on tissue paper. You can kind of see if you look up the words ropeworm, basically these are going to be buildups of debris in the intestinal mucus. And this could help to clear biofilm. Sure. So this could help detox essentially with individuals, but that doesn't mean that we have to keep hitting the body. Yes. And so I think that there's a time and a place. And this is why we make sure that we keep our Beat the Bloat cleanse really maxed out to 10 weeks. We have it set up as a 6-week cleanse. We assess you throughout the process on what's going on, what's changing in your body. We have you probiotic challenge at week 4 to see if you're ready to progress at the end of that 6th week or if you need to go a little bit deeper. And I think it's important to definitely work with a functional medicine practitioner and not over-sterilize or over-hit kidneys or liver with formulas that can stress the body.
Totally. And you know, when I'm working with someone clinically, when I see evidence of a parasite on a stool test, I always retest them at the end of like that 10 to maybe 12 week protocol to make sure that we've cleared it. And if we haven't, I think more about like what's going on in the body that the immune system isn't recognizing this pathogen and clearing it itself. And so I might work with that individual more so on supporting their immune system like a 4-week chunk and bring in GI Immune Builder at a higher amount and bring in Rebuild Spectrum at a higher amount to really rev up their own system's defenses versus like hitting the gut super hard over and over. And I think that's where we get into trouble with like these, you know, parasite crazes, whatever, these cleanses where people are doing them repeatedly for months and months and months, or taking them daily, because I think it is, there's a fear. It's like, ew, there's something alive and growing in my body. Well, you know, come to find out, sometimes parasites have a place, and there's some research that certain parasites actually can improve fertility or allergy symptoms, for example. So I think, you know, taking the 6 to 10 week approach is valid, but maybe not over cleansing.
Right. We kind of try to restrict maximum quarterly and really more of like a semi-annual approach, if not only once a year, to do a intensive cleanse. And I think it's important to also consider the status of nutrition and health of the individual. So when we look at parasitic diseases, if we look at like malaria, or how do you say,
Babesia. Like the one that's tick-borne, that's a Lyme co-infection. We talked about it in that Lyme episode that we did.
Yes, yes. But, you know, when we look at a lot, or hookworm, let's say, we really only see these as risks to humans that are severely nutritionally compromised, often in like a third world country. When we look often at like rural Americans who are exposed to a lot of parasite through their agriculture production of their animals, we just don't see the influence. And so I think it's always worth looking at the terrain of the individual and building the robust whole health approach.
Yes. So yeah, let's cover some of those risk factors of how we might come across or become infected with a parasite and who is most susceptible.
Yes. So, you know, there are going to be contamination risks with food and water as the primary. And there is that individualized, again, susceptibility. So just like with oysters or foodborne illness-based foods like raw meats, et cetera, two individuals could have the exact same sample, and maybe only one actually ends up with a gut infection. And the other individual, their immune system has enough of probacteria as well as good gut integrity and the ability of that immunosurveillance to actually eradicate and not allow that parasite to set up camp. And so especially if in a state of dysbiosis or a sterilized gut, if dealing with leaky gut, or if we know we have an autoimmune disease, this is going to be risk factors that would make an individual more susceptible.
Totally. And so we're looking at, you know, undercooked meat and seafood could be a source, certainly. Pork, we all learned about that again, like middle school biology, the trichinosis. I just can still picture that exact, you know, slide that was put up on the overhead projector at the time of what those worms look like. I think about international travel, especially, you know, going to third world countries or places where the local water source is potentially contaminated. Maybe those are the places we're a little bit more careful about not eating street food and whatnot if we are a susceptible individual. So yeah, foodborne, waterborne, swimming, certainly.
So lakes and rivers would be a big one that I think we've talked about in the world of like vaginal microbiome influence. But that can definitely be, we laughed when we went to Mexico together as families, well, without the kids, but, and we all got like, we called it cenote exotic bugs, because we went swimming in all of these cenotes. And I am very certain that there were a lot of parasites in that area. And we all had, you know, the Mexico diarrhea for, for a while.
And then, you know, thinking about hygiene as certainly a factor and, you know, passing these parasites amongst the household, children are more susceptible, and we all hear about like the pinworm outbreaks at school and whatnot. So children and the elderly might be more susceptible. We see, you know, especially like daycares and institutionalized, you know, type, places, as being more of a concern. People who work closely with animals. I just did a stool test on an individual who's a veterinarian, and certainly he had, you know, more commensal bacteria than normal, and he actually did have a couple of parasites present. I'm like, oh, that's because you're working with dogs all day, you know? So animals, livestock, and then if we're handling like soil or working in, you know, an area of like waste material.
Hot compost before it's cured. So, you know, we can also be exposed like as chicken keepers, as again, dog owners, right? And there's that dance of like, well, should you never let your dog lick you in the face? You know, I have a little baby dog. He actually, after Becky was with her dog over here. Becky's dog had bloody diarrhea and got tested for hookworms, mm-hmm. excuse me. And so I took Apollo, my dog, in. He had no signs. He had solid poop. All was well. But, you know, due diligence, I was like, well, he played for like 8 hours or overnight, nonstop. We are on 14 acres. And I know that my dog eats poop of various species all of the time. Yep. As much poop as he can eat, he's doing it. And so it's not just chicken. It's raccoons out here. It could be coyote, et cetera. And he, sure enough, also tested positive. We have a whole nother episode. We have to talk about holistic vets and how to treat it because I'm more prone towards just straight up ivermectin, of course, which doesn't have neurological toxins in it. But needless to say, even due diligence, we were considering, do we test our own poop? And really upon researching it, again, it would generally present on the feet first, and to become systemic would really take a highly compromised health individual.
Yep.
And so that's kind of where I lie. Like, I'm going to let my baby dog lick me on the face. Yeah,
don't drink out of his water bowl.
Yeah. I'm going to tell Stella to wash her hands before she eats if she's letting him lick her hands nonstop. And, you know, I actually have worked with dog trainers and rescue individuals that do take the berberine boost daily for that reason.
Yeah.
And something like that, I think berberine, which has a multitude of beneficial factors. So it being antimicrobial, antifungal, and antiparasitic, and also having that benefit on blood sugar control and lipids, that makes sense to me. But I wouldn't have that individual on a chelator or something that's aggressive just because of that contamination risk.
Sure, totally. Unless they were presenting with symptoms or did a stool test that showed, you know, significant infection.
She was taking 6 a day and I was like, just two. Yeah, just two is good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so parasites are actually really common, right? Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the overall presence of intestinal parasites in one study of, you know, a large population was 16.1%. We saw 22% in males and 11.1% in females. And in this particular study, the women that were age 41 to 60 had a higher prevalence at about 20% compared to the other age groups. We're looking at more than 60 million people in the U.S. potentially infected with parasites. And it's thought that about 1/4 of infectious diseases are caused by parasitic infections. And that's more global. Oh, worldwide.
That's worldwide. Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, no doubt.
So common. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So basically, we're looking at whether it's multicellular or single-celled as far as breaking down the forms of parasites. So the protozoa are going to be single-celled organisms and, again, can be contributed through fecal-oral route or through an arthropod vector like a mosquito bite as another risk factor association. That's hence the like malaria connection there. Protozoa infections, again, like Giardia, Cryptosporidium, can be seen often, again, more in compromised individuals. And then the helminths, which are, again, I call them like the larger worms, these are multicellular worm parasites, which would be the roundworms, the flukes, and the tapeworms. These are mostly actually transmitted through contaminated soil. And we can see that as a risk factor, as well as fecal-oral as well. So we're looking at poor sanitary practice. Wash your hands, people.
I think that's bottom line here, right? And then if someone else in the household has that going on, then, you know, you might treat yourself as well. Let's talk just symptoms kind of overarching to look for. I think the most common are the digestive concerns.
Yes. So if we are having unexplained constipation or watery diarrhea, dynamic gas or bloating, and nausea as well, these can be signs of parasitic infection. But like we noted with the traveler's diarrhea, I typically take more of a defense versus offense first, which is why always with the gut, I start with my probiotic challenge, generally speaking, because often, again, your system will get rid of. It might just need a little bit of support if it is more dynamic. And so, you know, we look at the parasites taking root in the GI tract, and we're looking for our GALT or our gut-associated lymphatic tissue to identify and eradicate. And we really see doctors testing for parasites if there is chronic diarrhea. They're going to usually run like C. diff and then like Giardia and then some common foodborne illness like Salmonella, which is bacteria, not parasitic. But more intensive testing like the doctor's data panels or the GI map or the Genova diagnostics are going to really identify and typecast the parasite. And if you also are passing something in the stool that you're seeing, it would be worth potentially pulling that because we've seen as stool is dynamic and moving. You know, I've had individuals that we've tested negative for parasites on a stool test and swear they're seeing worms, and we will collect and bring that into the lab. And sometimes that still is not a parasite. Again, it can just be mucilaginous discharge in the gut.
Sure. And then we think chronic fatigue as another kind of bucket, especially if it is a long-standing infection, a more severe parasite that's kind of been at work, you know, pulling from your stores, essentially, right? So I think unexplained chronic fatigue, mood changes, depression, even like personality shifts, memory issues, chronic headaches, things like that may be a sign, but not the only thing that could be causing that.
Right. And especially if there's neurological concerns, we think of a lot of, with the world of dysbiosis, again, regardless of what it is sourced from, yeast, bacteria, parasite, dysbiosis is going to influence deficiency of the nutrients that are manufactured in the gut. So we think of things like biotin and B12. And when we think of conditions like multiple sclerosis, et cetera, you know, we know that deficiencies of these nutrients can impact the myelination or the protection of our nervous sheath. And this can impact things like neuropathy, et cetera.
Yes. Skin conditions, we talk about this a lot in the world of dysbiosis in general, and that bacteria and yeast can certainly manifest on the skin with, you know, everything from eczema to psoriasis to, you know, cystic acne. But I think also parasite can be at play. So we can see mysterious rashes that are unexplained otherwise. We can see hives, rosacea, eczema, itching especially, even if there isn't a rash, can be a sign of parasite, especially if it gets worse at night.
Yes, and I think of itching also, though, as a fungal element. And I think it's worth noting, I don't know, Becky, off the cuff, I haven't looked back to tell an accurate percentage, but I would say off the cuff, I think less than 10% of individuals that I've seen with an active parasite also don't have anything else going on.
There's usually yeast
90% of the people that have a parasitic infection, and again, what we're saying is that means that their GI was weakened.
Yes.
Right? They likely have low secretory IgA, which is that coating of the mucosal lining. They likely also will have some form of yeast overgrowth. They likely also will have too high of commensal bacteria or too many wildflowers and weeds or dysbiotic flora in conjunction with said parasite. And this kind of reminds me of that episode we did 3 or 4 years ago called SIBO versus dysbiosis. And we talked about, you know, is it an upper intestinal bacterial infection or is it just a generalized intestinal infection? And our summary of that episode, which we'll link in the show notes, was basically regardless, our Beat the Bloat cleanse is going to cover your bases. Yeah. And that's what I'm going to reiterate with this parasite episode is that our Beat the Bloat cleanse is going to cover all bases and be a good way to plow and reset your gut microbiome to work for you and then end up with better resilience for protection going forward.
Totally. I would agree with that, that it's never just a parasite. And that is a sign that individual is more compromised. And there's a lot more that we need to work on beyond just resetting the gut. We need to figure out how to boost their immune systems. This doesn't happen again or reoccur.
Yes. We can see inflammation. So beyond neurological system and the itching, we can see joint pain. We can see neck pain to be an indicator often. And even looking at, again, the connection of like foodborne illness, we can see the influence of, for instance, Listeria driving nervous system paralysis or pain. And same like we can see with the trichinosis with the roundworms, which is a parasite in the pork. And so inflammation is something to be mindful of. Anemia, which would be another, again, nutritional deficiency. They're literally eating your iron. They're eating your blood stores.
Yeah.
And so it's wild to consider that, but you could have a deficiency of red blood cells then in the body.
Like chronically low ferritin individuals. If I can't find another cause for that,
gut infection.
I go to gut.
Yeah, always. For sure. And then having beyond the nausea, hunger or lack of fullness. So issues with satiety or unintentional weight loss can be a big thing that we'll see as well because of that nutritional deficiency, that big joke of like, he must have a tapeworm because he can't gain 5 pounds and he eats all these things is the connection that we're looking at there. A big one that's talked about and I think has some truth to it is teeth grinding. You know, I've had some people say foo-foo on the idea of the full moon. Others say, well, that there is an influence on full moon and activity of parasite. And so especially if we notice more dynamic neurological insomnia or teeth grinding in the evening, we do know that gut dysbiosis is nocturnal. And so there will be more action often in the evening.
Yes, totally. And insomnia kind of in that same vein, if you're finding, you know, all of a sudden we were on an international trip and now we have insomnia for no other reason. And, you know, sleep support's not touching it. Melatonin, all the sleep hygiene, you might be a candidate for, you know, the beat the bloat cleanse to kind of reset in that world.
Yes. So can you test for parasites? Yes. I mentioned, you know, three labs that we've used and currently have on the website available for you. The GI map. We've also had Doctor's Data, Genova Diagnostics. Labs, as far as looking at parasites in the gut, if they only look at parasite, I don't find a lot of value from them. But if it's a quality lab, like the three companies that I've named, they're going to also look at the gut integrity. They're going to also look at digestive and absorptive issues. They're going to also look at the status of your good, favorable gut flora. And that does help us to really understand what's going on. But as I aforementioned, you know, we do need to proactively kind of plow the wild garden of the body about once a year to ensure that it's working for us. And I find, as far as financial investment, that the majority of people will respond very well to doing a 6-week beat the bloat cleanse. And we might not even need to go down into that $500 investment of a advanced stool panel.
Yep. I think that's a really good point. And so the question comes, does everyone, since we all have parasites, it sounds like, or so many of us, does everyone need to do a parasite cleanse? Are all parasites necessarily bad? And I think, you know, research actually shows that some parasites can be beneficial in some instances, right?
Well, and this is where we see like fecal transplant, for instance, of an approach with MS. We've seen, for instance, that there are individuals that tend to do better with helminths. And there are ancestral trends, of course, right, that we see that we probably had a collaborative experience. We know just as there are, you know, 3 to 5 pounds of flora in our body comprised of yeast and bacteria cells, that, you know, likely some of that poundage is also devoted to parasitic activity. So I would say yes, for sure, everyone needs to do a gut cleanse, but no, everyone does not need to be on an anti-parasitic formula daily.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary and good research, like you said, in the world of MS, IBS, even Crohn's and type 1 diabetes and arthritis, some certain parasitic species could actually reduce symptoms for those individuals. There was a study I was reading this morning about how women in Bolivia who were contaminated with hookworm actually had improved fertility outcomes versus those that did not have hookworm, but then those that had pinworm had lessened fertility outcomes. So really could be species dependent as well. And then we see some research in the world of allergy relief and wound healing, excuse me.
Yes. And it's interesting because the question comes back to then, you know, again, fighting against sterility and finding the balance of getting back to nature. You know, are those individuals just spending more time in like the fecal cow pies of, you know, really, are they rural? Are they farming? Are they spending their time in soil? And often maybe the microbe activity outweighs the infection of the parasite.
Sure. And yeah, something to be said about our pretty sterile environment that maybe we're just not equipped anymore to deal with certain species of parasites or our bodies forgot how to deal.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
Let's go into some of the compounds that we might use and what some of the research says about these compounds to combat a parasite. And again, I think I would go after the parasite if it showed up on a stool test or if you were having significant symptoms. And I wouldn't go after the parasite in a vacuum or alone. I would do kind of that full microbiome rehaul like we've been talking about.
Yeah, and that's why we have revamped the Beat the Bloat bundle to include our GI reset, mm-hmm. because we really felt like all too often we were layering that in at week four for individuals if they weren't getting that full efficacy of the gut cleanse. And that's because our GI reset has wormwood in it. It also has, or artemisia, and it also has black walnut in there. Those are two well-known anti-parasitic tools that have been shown to be clinically effective at eradicating parasite infection. So we looked at, for instance, a review that looked at use of wormwood that looked at after 15 weeks of 500 milligrams, 70% of the participants had completely eradicated the parasite that was tested, and it was the intestinal amebiosis. And then we look at black walnut and Mimosa pudica as additional botanicals that have historical and medical contextual evidence for treatment against parasite infections. Black walnut is very helpful in eradicating the parasite. I mentioned that the Mimosa pudica has that influence on the mucilage. So just being mindful that what we're seeing as output could be basically gut detox versus maybe the output of continuing to tell you, you need to keep taking this formula.
Right. It's not you're passing a giant worm. It's you're passing the mucus and some of the biofilm that was associated with said parasites potentially.
Right. I was just going to say our GI reset doesn't have that particular formula in there mm-hmm. because of that confusion. And so this way you can actually see what's passing and we won't sure. have that added mucilage.
Yep. And then it also has Uva ursi or
yes.
bearberry, which has been shown to be antiseptic, antiviral, antibacterial, and antiparasitic against things like that trichinomiasis, I think it's called, which is a very common protozoa parasite.
Yes, it's also really favorable for bladder.
Yes.
So if we look at like UTIs, again, kind of just hitting a broad stroke with the GI reset formula, which also has grapefruit seed extract in there as an added benefit for antimicrobial properties and also parasitic effect.
Yes. And we have also added the nano silver recently to the bundle as well. Colloidal silver and in particular this nanoparticle silver, which is getting kind of more buzz these days, has antiparasitic effects as well, especially against certain worms. So we added this, and this is going to hit kind of the upper GI area mm-hmm. as well. You're spraying it directly into the back of the throat. So we've been using a lot in our own households for, you know, travel and kind of like coming home from school a couple times a week, just oral hygiene and whatnot, mm-hmm. But could be really effective in this sense as well.
Yes. So layering in those two give us a wider stroke of the brush, if you will, to make sure that our Beat the Bloat cleanse is going to be effective based on whatever is in your gut that we don't want. And the nano silver is going to, because of its silver sole technology, be able to penetrate and get into those biofilms, which is where we can get a lot of resistance in a successful gut cleanse outcome. So we bring in the ultimate detox in our bundle to not just support with sulfur containing amino acids to encapsulate and remove the die off of endotoxin that parasite, yeast, or bacteria will release through that cleanse, because that can create a lot of unfavorable effects. But also, we're going to get some biofilm disruption in there. And that's going to, with those sulfur containing amino acids, allow us to get into the deep networks of bacterial imbalance, if you will.
Yes. And then I want to call out a couple of other formula highlights. Our herbal immune in particular is one that contains oregano oil, which has been studied pretty extensively
yes.
for both antibacterial and antimicrobial effects, as well as lemon balm, thyme, and sage, which all have their own research also supporting them as antiparasitics. I've always thought of that one more so for
fungal
mm-hmm. and, you know, yeast overgrowth and even SIBO kind of hitting the upper GI, but actually is a very potent antiparasitic as well.
Yes. And then we throw in our berberine boost as well as an antimicrobial, antifungal. And then it has a traditional Chinese medicine formula of herbs in there, which includes like golden thread, which we've seen really successful outcomes with psoriasis, but also some anti-parasitic effects of benefit there.
Yes. Let's talk a little on just anti-parasitic diet focus. I know we delve into this in the Beat the Bloat ebook, especially in terms of what to avoid so we're not feeding, you know, bad bacteria, yeast, or parasite. But there are certain foods that we can consume that actually can help us to kill off parasites and to pass parasites.
Yes. So herbs are often the best approach to start with. So we have like my bacteria battling chimichurri, for instance, getting more of that oregano in there, getting also a copious amount of garlic and basil, and also getting an olive oil, which itself can be very favorable. Coconut oil and olive oil are excellent fats to have antiparasitic effects, and also to support our cells in recovery, giving us those essential fats that we might have been robbed of. We look at garlic and onions as great support, and kind of, again, goes back to the test of times of like medieval, right?
Sure.
Kind of can take care of the bubonic plague. But there's immune boosting properties, of course, of these sulfur containing vegetables, and the allium family has antiparasitic effects. But these might need to be consumed in smaller amounts until tolerated if you're dealing with SIBO or dynamic bloating or belching, because often that can create a little bit of a battle environment. We often need to hit with the supplement formulas before we can tolerate in the diet. If you've been doing a low FODMAP diet and you don't tolerate the prebiotic fibers and garlic and onions and asparagus and cruciferous vegetables, then that's an indicator that you need to do a deeper dive of a cleanse to eradicate and then see tolerance down the line.
And our Beat the Bloat ebook actually has within the phase one, you know, cleanse meal plan, there's a specific modification for low FODMAPs if you are one of those individuals. And then in the regular plan, we might include something like the 40 clove of garlic soup in that first 4 weeks. And if you tolerate it, great. That's going to be additional punch for your cleanse, but maybe you won't tolerate it if you are one of those individuals who's dealing with, you know, SIBO or a higher level of bacteria, yeast, et cetera, until phase two. And then I'd call out pumpkin seeds as an antiparasitic that also has stood the test of time. I know we talked about that in our chicken episode.
We put those in our chicken feed.
Exactly. But for humans as well, you know, incorporating up to a quarter cup daily of pumpkin seed, we can see having antiparasitic effects.
So we can link our pumpkin seed pesto video. We've done that on the YouTube channel. So that could be a great food as medicine double dip because you get the herbs as well, of course. Proteolytic enzymes are fantastic. So we would often lean into our inflammasome formula. Mm-hmm. And this is a common add-in because it can reduce some of the pain or aches and also aid at tapping into those biofilms. And then in the diet, we think of tropical fruits. So papaya and pineapple and kiwi. These would be fantastic to offset that cytokine prostaglandin response of inflammation in the gut.
Okay. And then foods to avoid, again, this will go way deeper dive in our Beat the Bloat program, but in general, we want to avoid added sugar. We want to avoid wheat and grains in general, processed foods. We want to avoid alcohol to the best of our ability. We have you also avoid fermented foods, which, you know, probiotics certainly have their place in terms of crowding out parasite and resetting that gut microbiome, but we really focus more on that in the phase two portion.
Yes.
I wanted to hit this like really quick in a one sentence answer, just because I know we're going to get the question. What about colonics or coffee enemas during a cleanse?
Okay. So I am not a big fan of either. I have had individuals that have tested positive for parasite do a colonic once during their cleanse if they felt like they were having a lot of action. But I'm not someone that's going to recommend regular colonics. I believe that when we look at how the body functions, that it goes against the way that our body was designed, you know, fecal matter flows outbound, not up and in. And especially things like the coffee enemas, because of that caffeine delivery, can create a lot of spasms, can create a lot of cramping, can also create some dependency because it is a bowel stimulant. Mm-hmm. And so then individuals are relying on a coffee enema regularly. I'm really more about detoxing the liver with sulfur-containing amino acids, similarin, which is in milk thistle, which is, you know, of course, in our Reset, Restore, Renew detox packs, and really working with the body as far as ample fiber and supporting bowel motility with magnesium bisglycinate if need be, but not a big fan of hot liquid in the rectal area. We can see burns, we can see muscle spasms, and again, we can see some dependency and issues with optimal bowel function.
Yep, I would agree. And I think, again, using things like that or using colonics over time can actually cause some weakness of your muscles.
The epithelial.
So like mm-hmm. I have had clients who became dependent on
right.
colonics. So yeah, using them 1 to 2 times during a cleanse, if you're not getting
yes.
good bowel output, or if it's been like 5 days with no bowel movement, mm-hmm. Sure, could work in that instance, but you don't want to create that like laxity of, you know, their muscles to work the way they're supposed to work.
And epithelial tissue, which mm-hmm. is quite thin, can be damaged.
Totally.
So we can see even not a full-on bowel perforation of a risk factor, but definitely micro tears that could drive leaky gut as well as infection
totally.
And injury.
Okay. Glad we got that question answered here. So I think big picture, the Beat the Bloat cleanse, especially as it's newly been revamped, is our go-to for all things gut, skin, all of the conditions that we've talked about in today's episode. And it's going to cover you in terms of if there is a parasite present.
Yes. The only thing we haven't mentioned yet that I want to make sure listeners hear, we talked about how immune compromised and nutritional deficient individuals would be more susceptible to a parasitic infection. But I want to call out our GI Immune Builder. So this formula is our blend of serum bovine immunoglobulins with NAG, and combined, the NAG is going to provide structural support for the gut, and also have ability to regulate as some form of a prebiotic, if you will, the bacterial environment in the gut. And then those serum bovine immunoglobulins are a dairy-free form of immunoglobulins that help the surveillance, can actually protect against parasitic infection, and can support ongoing viability of good gut flora. So this is a really good formula for children. This is a really good formula. For instance, Stella did have pinworms. And so in that status, because at that time she was 6 years old, I did a couple weeks of crushing the berberine boost, and we brought that in. We did ivermectin because I actually saw the worms. And once you see that, you got to treat it. And we have stayed on the GI Immune Builder as a tool that I'll mix into the honey with the BioC Plus as more of like a couple times a week frequent flyer to harness and really support on a foundational level her gut to have more resilience. And I'll tell you, norovirus has gone around the school. There's gut bugs going around and she has not had a sick day at all. And I really give a lot of value to that GI Immune Builder. It's so systemic in its support, and gut infection protection as well as recovery is a huge piece of that puzzle.
Awesome. And then I would note, you know, making sure you follow the protocol all the way through with our Beat the Bloat cleanse with our microbiome reboot bundle, which is how we've renamed the bacteria rebuild bundle. That's now going to include the GI Immune Builder. I would call out the Rebuild Spectrum probiotic as an essential tool if you've had parasitic infection, because that S. boulardii in particular is going to
yes.
kind of crowd out those bad guys and prevent, you know, reinfection if there's another household member, or, you know, if we're traveling internationally quite frequently.
Yes.
That's one I keep, you know, in my own regimen every single day, because I have had a parasite and I do mm-hmm. travel internationally and I do eat raw oysters and things mm-hmm. like that. So just to call out, making sure you rebuild the microbiome after you cleanse and not being in this chronic cleanse forever mode, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to call out. As someone saw on Instagram, Stella eating oysters, and they were like, wait, because I said, oh, well, I take berberine boost before. And then also my mom, she's like, well, so Stella doesn't take the berberine boost. I only had given her that because it's very bitter.
Yes.
So I've only given her that 1-2 week period post pinworms. And I said, no, but I do spray her with the NanoSilver and she gets the GI Immune Builder. And then I'll open a capsule of the Rebuild Spectrum. If I feel like I allowed her to have a foodborne risk, then I'm going to offset that with that therapeutic support. And so we'll put all of these show notes together for you, link all of the formulas discussed and the bundles. We would love for you to join us for just $99 in the Beat the Bloat class. Four live classes, tons of value there at alliemillerrd.com under live Beat the Bloat. And actually to entice you a little bit further for the rest of this month, we will actually offer the Beat the Bloat ebook at $5 off. So just $4.99. If you feel like you're not sure if this is what you need, that ebook might give you enough of understanding what you're biting off with this program and likely give you enough information to know that you want to join the program because it's worth the $99 to have the handhold and not feel overwhelmed. But you can absolutely still do it on your own with the supplements with the Beat the Bloat ebook. And if you're listening to this after April 10th, we do offer Beat the Bloat class as an archive as well. So if you want the program and it's after this lifetime, that's available for you as well.
Thank you for listening to the Naturally Nourished podcast. Visit our blog at alliemillerrd.com for recipes, wellness tips, and food as medicine meal plans. Connect with Allie and Becky at AllieMillerRD on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Until next time, stay nourished and be well.